T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I love a great true crime podcast. This one caught my attention. It's one of the strangest mysteries in Minnesota history. So in 1951, three boys, ages 8, 6, and 4, they left their home in Minneapolis to go to a park just down the street. They never came back. They were never found. Now, what's odd here, what's even more odd, I should say, after 5 days, the police said, the case closed. Said the boys had drowned in the river, even though they didn't have any evidence. No bodies ever surfaced in the river. That story is now the subject of a podcast. It is called Long Lost, an investigative history. Jack L. High is the host and researcher. Jack, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me here, Corey.
Well, first of all, I'm from Minnesota. I had never heard of this story. How did you hear about the story originally?
In a very strange way. Back in November 1997, I remember this clearly. I was reading the Sunday paper, and I saw a classified ad in the paper. And it said something like, looking for more information about missing boys Kenneth Jr., David, and Danny Klein, who disappeared in 1951 from North Minneapolis, and it listed a phone number. I called the number and spoke with Mrs. Klein, Betty Klein, the mother of the boys, and she told me the whole story, and I was just drawn in immediately.
Okay, so that was 40-something years later. Now, since you read about it, that's been 22 years since then. Okay, let's go back a step with the family. So at this point in time, in 1997, the three boys go missing. Did the family have any other kids?
There is an older boy, Gordon, who is 9 years old at the time. He did not go out with his brothers to the park. And that was the family, those four boys, along with mom and dad.
Okay, so where are mom and dad today?
They're both dead, unfortunately. Okay. They both passed away in somewhat recent years without knowing the fate of their missing children. And then after the boys disappeared, the Kleins had four more sons who have been involved in the search for their missing brothers.
Oh, no kidding. So there's 8 kids total.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the oldest, Gordon, is he involved in this project?
He is. He's in the podcast. He's an important part of it and a very compelling character in the whole story. He suffered greatly by this.
I cannot imagine to lose, at that point, the rest of your family in terms of the three brothers, but then to never have that closure.
Right. And also to feel guilt. He to this day, and he's in his late 70s now, feels guilty because he didn't go out with his brothers. He attended to a chore at home and said he would meet up with them at Farview Park in Minneapolis. He went there to meet them at their meeting spot behind the oak tree or under the oak tree, and they weren't there. He searched the park, no sign of them, and the police took it from there.
So why do you think that even today, this is not a story that's, I'd never heard about it until I was looking up your podcast. I'd never heard about it, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that there's a lot of people here who've never heard this story. Why do you think that is?
Well, you mentioned the police investigation earlier. The police investigated for 5 days and determined that the boys had probably drowned in the Mississippi River about a mile away from the park. But as you mentioned, no bodies ever turned up, very little physical evidence to suggest that the boys even went there. And so with the police closing the case that way, there was never a police determination that a crime had occurred.
Yeah, but there's something funny here. Right. I mean, this just doesn't seem logical. Like after 5 days to just, well, you know, we went out and looked for a few days and that's it. I guess that's what happened. Are there any theories as to, well, maybe that's not what happened. Maybe this happened.
Well, there are more than theories. There are suspects because I got involved with this, as I said, in 1997. But in 2013, I was contacted by a sheriff's deputy with the Wright County Sheriff's Department, and she and her partner were working on this on their own time developing the case, doing all the things the police should have done back in 1951, and they developed a list of suspects and a course of action to follow. A big problem with this case is that because the Minneapolis police closed it so long ago, it's an orphaned case. Mm-hmm. There is no police agency that is interested or willing to look into it again.
He's Jack L. High. He's the host and researcher of a new podcast called Long Lost, an investigative history, a mysterious, one of the strangest mysteries in Minnesota history, really. Okay, so once a case is closed like that, and it's been so much time has passed. How could they, you know, how could you even go down that road of trying to find more evidence or uncovering what actually happened now when it's been 50, I mean, how long ago is that, 60-some years later?
68 years later now. Well, there were things that the police never did back in 1951 that they should have done. First of all, they never extensively interviewed the family, which is something that would be done right away now in a missing child case, any missing child case. But they also did not follow up on leads of suspicious activities, suspicious characters in the neighborhood, because abduction seems to have not crossed their mind at all at the time.
And also in 1951, obviously today would be different, but in 1951 it was like, oh, well, they're boys and they were young and
they probably got lost or suffered some kind of accidental death or ran away.
Yeah. I don't want to give away the podcast. Are you okay to talk any of these theories or suspects?
Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but in general terms, I can. One of the suspects is a neighbor, someone who lived about a block away, and there's compelling evidence to think that he might have been involved. Another suspect is a park worker, someone who worked at Farview Park and who knew the boys and was later involved in another missing child case in which the boys in Chicago, three boys were found to have been murdered. And there are other lower-level suspects as
yeah.
well.
How is the family now today? I cannot imagine. Obviously, they're willing to work with you on this project, but the pain that they've gone through by losing three siblings.
It was a bomb explosion in their family, tore a hole in their family, and divided their family because the family that existed before the boys disappeared, that was one half, and that included Gordon and the parents. And then there were the boys who came afterwards, and they led very different lives. And the boys who came afterwards were very aware. The parents made sure they were very aware of their brother's existence, even though they were missing, and they observed birthdays and mm-hmm. other holiday celebrations. And they know that something – they all knew even when they were very little that something different and strange happened in their families, and they had to deal with it.
And mom and dad stayed together. I mean, that's a trauma amongst themselves, you know, to deal with when you lose one child, but let alone to lose three of them at once and to not know if they're ever going to come back or what happened to them. I mean, that's an enormous trauma.
When I tell people about the Long Lost podcast, I tell them there's two stories. Yes, the mystery of the missing boys, but there's also the story of the parents and the family. They did stay together. They were very strong in their determination to keep searching, even when they got no cooperation from
yep.
law enforcement or they contacted political office holders, anyone they could think of for help. But they did it all themselves.
Yeah. Jack, okay, so I know there's a new episode every Wednesday. How long's the season? How long's the podcast?
There are six episodes in Long Lost, a new episode every Thursday coming out.
Okay.
And so tomorrow, today.
I know. So like, what day is it now? What month is it?
Today, episode four comes out. There'll be two more coming out in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so episode four today. If people are like, I gotta listen to this. Where can I get it? And I assume it's everywhere.
You can get it anywhere where you get podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all of the places that that have podcasts.
Jack, well done. And again, that podcast is called "Long Lost: An Investigative History." So glad you went down this road, and that the family was willing to open themselves up to you.
Well, thank you for having me here to talk about it.
Jack L. High, the host and researcher of that podcast, "Long Lost: An Investigative History."
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.